When the UVA basketball schedule is released in the fall, if you're anything like me, you may check out when the first game of the season is, when the first ACC game is. You also really want to know where and when that Duke game is. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the pregame show on Locker Room Access alongside Dougie Fresh, Coach Phony Bennett, Chris Havlicek. We are also very, very happy and to welcome Isaac McNeely's parents, Dan and Holly McNeely. Hello, guys. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So, congratulations. Holly, you tweeted out Big Vital mentioning your son's name at halftime, or I'm not sure what point of the game it was.
Yeah.
That he mentioned your son's name, and it brought back the time when someone called me and said, "Oh my gosh, Mark, I just heard Dick Vitale mention Ty's name when he was still in high school."
Yeah.
Yes, it was very surreal.
Yeah. It was unreal for me. So what was it like for you guys?
We actually missed it. We had our older son and his girlfriend were here, and we were all kind of talking and having fun. And then our phones started blowing up. Isaac got somebody texted him and somebody texted me, and they said, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" So we had to rewind it to hear it. But yeah, it was really cool.
That's exactly what I did. I went on ESPN app and I went to the particular game he was talking about, and I rewound it right to that spot. I finally found it. People struggle with Vic Vitale and say they like him or they don't like him. A lot of people are criticize him, but it may be the most important person for expanding college basketball. So to hear him call my son's name, and for you guys.
Oh, wow. His voice is just synonymous with it, really. So yeah, it was crazy.
Yep. Well, have you guys had a chance to see what we do here on the pregame show and halftime show and postgame show?
I've watched it once. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Great answer. I challenge the it's true, but a great answer. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You could have just said I watched it. You didn't have to add the once part.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll watch it.
That's fine. Now it's twice.
Yeah. I don't watch it either.
So what was it about UVA that was so exciting for you guys and that pulled you and attracted you to say, this is where we want our son to go to school?
You want to go or me?
To me, it was a lot of things. I'll let her answer as well. But from a parent's point of view, you know, you want to find a place that you feel comfortable turning your son over. And, you know, what better hands to give your son to than Coach Tony Bennett and his staff. So they've had me sold for a long time. It's just, you know, the academics are wonderful and Isaac's a great student. So that's a good fit. The style of play is a good fit. His high school team, you know, they run a lot of the same stuff. Actually, our coach has visited campus numerous times and, you know, brought a lot of that stuff back to POCA, and he does it here. So do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, the basketball wise, it's, you know, it's a good fit because, like he said, Coach Osborne, which is Isaac's high school coach, he runs a lot of the same stuff. He runs this place like a little Virginia. He really does, the five pillars and the whole bit. So, you know, the basketball part was a good fit, but just the culture of the program. And we had a really good relationship with Coach Bennett over the past year. And, you know, it was a slam dunk.
Did you find yourself trying to guide him and push him where you wanted him to go? Or do you have to?
You know, I was sold a long time ago and I tried really hard to stay neutral. I think I did for the most part.
Yeah. And I mean, I just stressed to her, you know, it was important that we let him go through the process and, you know, he needed to make this decision himself.
And he did.
And he just really, within the last few weeks, you know, before he committed, he just said, "I know where I want to go." And we were like, "Well, if you know, then."
Yeah. A lot of people said, maybe it's too early, but he said, I know, I'm ready. I know where I want to go. So why wait?
Absolutely.
Where were you guys when Tony Bennett called you and said, "We're offering you"?
Well, he told us that we knew we were going to do a Zoom. We've done some Zooms. That's all we could do, obviously, with COVID. So we had set up the Zoom, but it was he was actually going to be going through some of Isaac's game film and was going to be pointing out some things he needed to work on and stuff. Like, we had already done where he showed things he did great. So this Zoom was going to be things you need to work on. So we did that whole Zoom. And then at the end of the Zoom, he asked Isaac, you know, are you willing to work on these things? And Isaac said, yes. And he said, well, in that case, I want to offer you a scholarship. So
I'm reliving it through you guys. This is so good. I really am. It sounds so familiar. And I remember I got the call. I'm in the middle of my apartment and I just screamed. Uh-huh. I hit the lottery when I hung up the phone. I thought he was on the call with me. Yeah. But I remember going to his office.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was just saying it was very exciting. And, you know, we've been talking with Coach Bennett. We went on our first visit in November 2019. And, you know, so the offer came a good bit later, but it was kind of good in a way because he really took his time to get to know us personally and broke down a lot of game film. I mean, it was really special.
Yeah, it's serious business, right? They're not playing around. So, right. No. So what does he need to work on? We know what he's good at.
Well, it's Coach Bennett. So it was mostly defensive stuff. So.
Yeah. Slides.
He thought Isaac was a good defender, really good defender, but he just was pointing out little things
getting
here and there.
Getting around screens, right?
Getting around screens was one of them, different things. So, which, you know, Coach Osborne is known for his defense. So, and he also runs the pack line. So, you know, he'll get him ready. He'll be ready.
Who did he give him as his comps, as the players, the past Virginia players that he's seen similarities to?
Joe Harris is the big one.
And Kyle,
of course. But he also says he sees him playing, he can play one or two a little bit, you know, maybe one in spells here and there. So I thought that was kind
of most of the video when he showed us, you know, was most Kyle guy, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, wow. He's a little taller though, no? I thought he was like
six four.
I'm not sure how, tall Kyle was, but he's about 6'4", I think.
Okay, it could be 6'5".
Yeah. Kyle may list, and Joe Guy may be listening. Kyle may list himself at 6'2".
No. Not quite.
No, which is to me is even more remarkable how athletic he is, and that he can play at this level and be so successful.
Yeah.
Athletics are such a journey, you know, from the time they're little until, you know, their career ends, wherever that. Maybe can you tell us a little bit about Isaac growing up, sports he played, and then when did you realize he was really good at basketball and that this could be a pathway to going to college?
Yeah, my answer is it's different than yours, but go ahead.
He actually played all three sports, football, baseball, and basketball, because I played baseball and basketball, or baseball and football. She played softball, so interesting enough, neither one of us played basketball. So wow. So he played all three growing up. And then probably I coached him in midget league, probably about second grade. I had people telling me that, man, your son's really special. And I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, I was like, okay. Probably around then was when they started telling us, like, he's going to go D1. He's going to be really good.
Oh, wow.
So.
What's the reason for that? Was he always by himself on the court, like outside in the backyard shooting? I know he's an athlete.
Yeah, athletic. He's always been very athletic. But I think just his understanding of the game at a very young age.
Oh, wow.
And like he just really got it from like such an early age. And like I said, I never played basketball, so like he was my coach out on the floor. He
watched a lot of YouTube. He watched a lot of games. And like when he played in youth league and stuff, we would go to tournaments, and in between games, you know, their teams would be playing, and all the kids on his team would be goofing off or whatever, but he was sitting watching the game and he would say, look, do you see this?
Peyton Manning, he's a film guy.
Great. Holly, you and I were talking the other day and you said he was never really trained by all these guys who become professional trainers and spend a lot of time with kids.
He didn't. He started working with the guy who trains him now, who actually lives in Pittsburgh. His name's Christian Kosmarski, but he didn't get with him till he was 15. And even then, you know, he's in Pittsburgh, so it's not like we see him all the time. But, he didn't have it. He did not have trainer or private lessons or any of that growing up. He really didn't. And he didn't have us to teach him. We never played, so.
Now, one thing he did have, I'm very fortunate, I work for the Board of Education, so I have a key and we do get gym access.
Yeah,
pretty.
He's been
pretty
in the gym.
We do get in the gym quite a bit. You know, right. Just me.
And but he just got drills, like ball handling drills and things. You know, these Steph Curry ball handling drills and stuff. He was doing all that on his own. Just got it from YouTube. I don't know.
So where does he get being driven so hard from, and his athleticism from, to be able to run and jump? Is it from Dan or is it from Holly?
It's always mom.
That's the big debate. But I do.
It's always mom.
I think we were both pretty good athletes, but her dad was a state champion high jumper. So
yeah, we give him the credit.
We give him credit for the jumping.
Mom.
But yeah.
You guys don't realize Mark's trying to take credit for Ty Jerome there. It's obviously Ty.
Yeah, I wish I could take credit, but I can't, honestly,
he has God-given talent. Yeah. That's all I can say.
Yeah, we tell that all the time. Just thank God for your blessings, because he's been blessed. So
who does UVA have to beat out? Which schools in the end for him to come to, for Isaac to sign with UVA?
Well, I mean, he had narrowed it down to his top eight, which was West Virginia. And of course, that's our home state. So that one was up there. And then Louisville and Indiana.
Illinois,
Purdue, Kentucky, and UNC. That was his final eight.
Wow.
Impressive.
I don't know for you, Tav and Doug, how many, when you guys played and even recently, how many guys battled Kentucky and UNC for kids and for them to pick UVA?
No, I'll say, you know, I'm never going to downplay Isaac, but Arkansas State wasn't heavy on him like they were on me.
We didn't hear from them.
Yeah, they never got in the mix.
Jonesboro, come on. No, that's so impressive. And beating
what a
Kentucky,
great list.
You guys must have loved Cal, right? I know.
Well, we never really got to talk to him.
We didn't talk to him. Yeah,
he talked to Coach Osborne and through Isaac. We never spoke to him.
Oh, okay, that explains it.
To give you guys a sense, of how old this panel is, Coach Williford played with Doug and I,
right?
Okay.
back in the day. So you know, he's got the gray hair that makes us all feel old. But he was a great teammate, a great player, and now a great coach. Did he play a big role in Isaac's recruitment?
It was Coach Bennett and Kyle Getter. That was the two people that we spoke to. We met Coach Williford when we went on up to the games. We went to two games pre-COVID, but yeah, it was really Coach Bennett.
Yeah, I think Coach Bennett decided early on, he was like, he wanted him. So he headed up the whole recruitment pretty much. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we've got to move on because we have a few more segments
podcast.
We loved having you on. Stick around, and we were looking so forward for you guys to be part of our family. And you have a chance, you are going to love going to Cameron. Dougie's got one more question.
I have one more question. So you guys, I think a player gets four home tickets a game.
Okay.
So you have one son. He has a girlfriend. She's not going to come. If I can ever come to a game, can I be like in the McNeely household for
sure? Sure, that works.
The other one, shameless.
Yeah, that works.
You guys don't know what you just signed yourself up for.
No, so right. Happy for you guys.
Hang out in the waiting room and join us at halftime or post game. Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Pleasure meeting you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Congratulations again.
Thanks.
Dougie and Hav. You guys, it's been a couple of trips down in Cameron. Like it, right? Have,
what do you think? There's really not.
What?
Nope. There's no place like home. No place like Cameron. Like,
no, I mean,
honest.
It's really unique. You know, it's unique in all of college basketball, and there's great venues all over the U.S. You know, we did a segment earlier about, you know, Little John is pretty tough to play in. There's some great arenas, you know, where Indiana plays, Freedom Hall. But there's no place like Cameron. Cameron reminds me of a collegiate kind of version of the Boston Garden. Boston Garden was much more vertical and held more people, but Cameron is a high school gym that they have retrofitted to get, I don't know, 12,000, 13,000 people in there. It's an amazing play. And it plays a big part in the game. And, you know, the unfortunate part, I'm happy we're playing games, but it's such a unique place. I hate to shortchange a kid on missing out on 1 year, Cameron.
Yeah.
So when I was mentioning earlier, for you guys, and I know for Ty and other people, the recent teams, you look at this game and you mark it on your calendar.
Yeah.
What is it just a tradition of Duke? Is it Krzyzewski? Is it the continuous players that he gets?
You want to go, Fresh?
Yeah, I think it's because it's like the movie Revenge of the Nerds. It's never more fun than to go into a setting where the nerds are going at you. And they're winning, right? The nerd, like our first 3 years down there, you know, we didn't win until my fourth year. You're redshirt third.
Yep.
And it's the whole thing. And you can't, there's no way to understand it until you go there.
Right.
So I wouldn't say we really circled it. I think people do now, players do now, because they're not guaranteed once a year for 4 years to go there. So it's maybe the old, when are we going to Duke? But
I think,
you know, go ahead. So we experienced it and it became very cool.
I mean, when we were there, so the 4 years that we were there, Duke won it twice and Carolina won it once.
Yeah.
Right.
Back
so Duke and Carolina were the two that you really looked forward to. Great teams, great players. You know, at the time it was Krzyzewski, who seemed like a veteran back then, you know, and that was 30 right. years ago.
Great point.
And Dean Smith, right? Those were two games. And what was interesting was Carolina has been the, you know, had been the sort of gold standard in the ACC for so long. And then Krzyzewski comes in and he's inching his way up. And, you know, he had that class with Billis and Tommy Amaker with Johnny Dawkins.
Yep.
Those were the first real teams I remember. And from there, they just exploded. And, you know, when we get to it, I'm going to talk about kind of his track record and his track record recruiting. But, and I think I've said this before, when we played at UNC, it was like playing in a theater in New York, like where a play would go on. When you go to Cameron Indoor, it is a gym and it is hot and it is, people are on top of you. And yes, the kids are screaming at you and the alumni are right behind you. And, you know, it's a really just, it's a high school gym that somehow holds like 12,000 people. I don't know what the number is exactly.
Right.
I think it's about 9,000. And okay. We have stories. We have inside information that's told us that sometimes the people that count the counters that
right.
when count the people that go through the turnstile.
They go backwards.
Yeah.
They kind of go backwards and they kind of violate. They may be violating a fire code there.
Yeah. And you know what? That's what makes it such a great place. And there's probably, if 9,000 is the listed capacity, I bet they get 11,000 in there.
Right. It's hot. It's packed and it's hot. So have this team is not, this year Duke's team is not performing as well as they have in the past. But are they still dangerous and how good are they?
Well, it's exactly where I wanted to go. So, perfect hosting skills there, Mark. All right, so it's still Duke at Duke, and I don't care how far they're down or up. You know, they're eighth in the ACC, right? They are, what are they, 9-8, 7-6 in the ACC. But let me give you a few stats. Let me just calm everyone down who says Duke's not that good. So this year is the 36th year of them having at least one McDonald's All-American on their roster. Okay. That's 24 more years in a row than the second place team. So that's number one. They've had 82 total McDonald's All-Americans. 80 of them have been under Coach K. And this year marks the seventh straight year where they have had three or more in one recruiting class. So in the last 7 years, they've had 21 McDonald's All-Americans. And this freshman class, they had three. So when you talk about Duke is down, let me, you know, pump the brakes on that. They have dudes. Okay. They've got guys that can play. When Coach K opens the cupboard and says, what are we going to cook for dinner? He's got a lot of ingredients there, right? He maybe hasn't put it together into the perfect dish, but man, he's got some ingredients there right now. The big story this week was Jalen Johnson and his opting out, and I'm sure we'll cover that. But what's amazing to me, and this is a highly decorated, highly skilled NBA player, he's been out of the lineup, and they've gotten better. They've gotten, you know, more cohesive, and that's an insider story. I don't know all the reasons, but I get a sense in watching the games that they have really shed some weight, whether that is perceived or not, but they're playing much more freely. This is a stacked team. They are very, very talented, and they're very young, by the way, extremely young. And in a way, they're probably the closest, they're most analogous to us in terms of the fact that they don't pound it down low and they've got really gifted perimeter players. So while Duke is down and they're in eighth, this is still going to be a really tough game. You know, the cardboard cutouts can't cheer, but let's be honest, Coach K is still drawing up plays on the other side, and he's a Hall of Famer.
That was a half mic drop. I got nothing to add. Yeah. That was a complete drop the mic, Obama style. Next.
The guy's been there 40 years. I mean, let's be honest. Coach K has been there 40 years. I mean,
yeah.
I think about, and Fresh, you're in finance. We all have friends that have been at a firm a long time. 40 years? I mean, he is an icon. He's on the Mount Rushmore, you know, and he's added USA basketball. It's not just NCAA. He's just incredible. And, there's nothing better. And I saw Ty drop in. There's nothing better than getting a win at Duke. And just because the fans are made of cardboard instead of skin and bones this year, it doesn't matter. Let's get a W.
And they're still nerds. All right, go. Sorry.
T-Dubs just put up prior to this picture, Tony Bennett's record against Duke since he's been here against K. Right? Three wins. And how successful UVA's been under TB. That's pretty remarkable. Krzyzewski has 11 wins against UVA.
When I look at that picture, I feel like Coach K's like the Pope there, and Tony's like a cardinal who's like rising in the ranks and ready to be anointed. But like I know Coach K's on record for really praising Tony and has encouraged him to take the baton and really run with it in college basketball, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, asking him to go to the NBA.
Dougie, when you look at that picture, my guess is you don't see the same thing. And also, no. do you think that's pregame, or do you think that's possibly after a game that Duke won?
I think it's pregame. No, I think it's after the game that Duke won.
Pregame.
No, it's 100% after the game the Duke won. Otherwise,
he's not shaking hands. He's not shaking hands like that after a loss.
That's a pregame. That's the first game after Ty won the national championship.
Hav's smarter than me. He went to a better high school in the same college. Hav's right. That's pregame. That's just like, hey, come in here. I've paid the refs off. We're gonna drill you. I hope you flew private, not charter or a bus. You know, it'll be fine on the way home. There's no ice on the road.
All right, folks. We go from in the previous segment one future who to one former who, and now we welcome Ty Jerome. Ty, thanks so much for joining us.
Of course, 11. Thanks for having me.
So you haven't? I don't think you've met Chris Havlicek yet.
Yeah, we did. I met him on an earlier one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. And
I think the Gonzaga one actually.
Oh yes, that's right. And was Coach? Were you on that one too?
No, not on that one. We were, I think maybe the NBA Jam tournament. We were on that together, but
that was my Christmas poem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very eloquent Christmas poem. So Coach Tony Bennett is the king of UVA basketball Twitter, and he's got like 20,000 followers, and he tweets under "If Tony Bennett tweeted," so that's why we call him Phony Bennett. And of course, you know Dougie, who is going to actually been awarded with the assignment of asking you a few questions.
Oh shit!
Now
I'll just say I was the one that wanted to tie on this episode because there's one shot that we have to talk about. That
yes,
I want to hear.
Phony to the rescue! Go ahead, Foamy. And when you, we should have labeled this the maybe Doug Fresh interview.
Maybe Doug, maybe not. No, I mean, the play, obviously, 2018 at Cameron. I want you to walk us through that shot, but start with the steal, because I think a lot of the replays that kind of gets lost, and that was part of that moment.
Yeah, what I do remember is they were making a run. I think we were up like 10 or 12 at half, and they started getting transition buckets in the second half, and they threw that exact pass for a dunk like a few minutes earlier. And I guess we missed the three or turned it over or something like that, and I just knew like they were trying to push it, so I just, you know, ran back. Because if they got another dunk, you know, Cody Bennett would have been furious. So I just had to get back in the kit, and he still threw it. He just wanted to run, and he still threw it. So I was just there when he threw it.
So you bring it up, and who was guarding you at that moment?
They were in zone at that moment, little 2-3. They went to that second half, too. So they went to that little 2-3 zone. We didn't know what to do. Like, we were stalling the clock out. The clock was going down and down, and just made a play.
But the play that everyone remembers that for isn't the three. It's the ball fake. Now, me, I say you were faking it to the timekeeper there. I'm not sure who you were looking at. I'm not sure who the Duke defender thought you were faking it to, but he bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you're guarding the ball, you don't really look who's to the left and right. You're just guarding the ball. You know what I mean? So, like, he doesn't know if there's somebody there or not. That's something.
The ref was there. You just moved.
And the timekeeper was on his right anyway, right? I mean, didn't the score? He was on your left, and now
there's a guy in a suit. If you look at the clip, I mean, I've examined this clip like the Zapruder film. There is a guy sitting there at the table, and I don't know if that's press.
Let's go to the clip.
Look at it.
Yeah, let's go to the clip.
Can we tell the street?
See, the timekeeper's on the same side as the coaches.
Yeah, he's faking it to the nerds.
He threw it at the.
I saw like 17 geeks from Duke, like with their hands up, like, "Oh, Ty Jerome's passing me the ball." No, bro.
This is the New York City. Right. I think to the left is press row, and I think to the right is where the scorekeeper is.
Yeah, so Jay Rack, fine.
They have to have the timekeeper on the right, on the same side as the coaches, so they can go and complain to him. But Ty, talk about, you know, that they were in the zone. The ball fakes are such a. Can be such a devastating weapon. It's kind of a lost art. Do you get to use that now that there's no zones? Like, that was a big part of your game, and a great moment, iconic moment at UVA.
I think now the NBA game is more fast-paced, so it's more like you use it in kind of, you know, in a fast-break situation or, like, in a, you know, swing, and, like, you catch it on the wing. There's someone in the corner. You can ball fake it if the defender's going to jump out. So you can use them faster. Rarely do you walk it up and, you know, make a ball fake now at the next level, but there's still a time and a place for it. But that's something I've been doing since I was, you know, 8 years old.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for somebody to ask where he got that from. That's all I want to know. I'm a little surprised that you guys have not asked, well, who trained you to do that?
Fresh question of the day. He was ready to pounce on that one.
We watched the photo from yesterday.
Yeah. So Ty, give our listeners, I mean, you know, we talked to Mark, but give our listeners an update on how you're doing, how you're feeling, and what's going on with you.
I'm doing well. I've played, you know, 6 games, probably 2 full ones. And I'm just trying to get my wind back, get my legs under me. So I feel really good now. Ankle's starting to feel better. I'm getting back to, you know, myself again, so it just feels good to play basketball after such a long time out.
Yeah, well, it's good to see you out there. There's been a lot of chatter in Twitter about how good it is to see you out there. So the big news this week out of Duke was the kid opting out /quitting. You know, that to me, that's a synonym for quitting. I always root for kids, and I hope the kid does well, but I think he made a bad decision. What are your thoughts on that? And you know, will there be any kind of repercussions when he goes to the NBA because of that?
So 2 things. I think the first thing is I'm a big believer in, like, you never know what someone's going through.
Right.
like, you never know his full situation. You don't know what happened. You know, he could be having family issues. It's like a million things the kid could be going through. At the end of the day, he's a 18, 19 year old kid, probably, I think, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you just never know what him and his family are going through.
Yeah.
But I'm also a big believer in, you know, finish what you started. You know what I mean? It's like, if he did, you know, opt out and quit on his teammates, like, that's unacceptable. But then, you know, I don't know the full situation. So I don't know if he's going through something that, you know, he actually needed space. He needed time. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just so far removed from it. I don't know what happened.
Happens fast, yeah. Right? You get away from
it. So it's tough to comment on, but.
Taking
this specific kid away from it, is there a chance that he got the 2019 Escalade and not the 2022? And he was, let's like kid, you know, that's not the kid. It's just the situation.
It didn't have the voice recognition fresh.
So he got no voice recognition, right?
Really quickly. What was it like for you playing in Cameron?
That was like, honestly, like a dream come true. Cause like, we grew up watching, you know, Duke and Carolina play. You raised me on college basketball. Before the NBA, before anything else. So, like, playing at Duke was one of the craziest days of my life. Probably the craziest day until the Final Four. Maybe the ACC Championship. But playing at Duke was, like, that's crazy.
Are you one for one at Duke? Or did you play all 3 years?
I'm one for two.
Okay.
All right. One for two. We lost to – Duke beat us twice my last year.
Yeah, that was, like, a two-point game at Cameron last year. Yeah, and a tough battle. That game was going back and forth for a little while.
Yeah, I'm sad. I'm sad for Trey and Sam and all the people who haven't experienced it yet that are going to play big minutes tonight.
Yeah.
You know, it might give us an advantage without the fans, it's just like that's something you want to experience as a big-time college player. Like, you want to experience that. So, like,
sure. No doubt.
Yeah, but.
All right. UNC – Louisville game just went off, and I think Duke and Virginia are about to start in a couple of minutes. Official start time is 8:05. We have a few more minutes. If Dougie, you got one last question?
I have two.
Wow.
Who's the best number 11 in the history of the University of Virginia basketball?
I don't. Is there a long list?
Nah, it's Ty. Ty. Get the jersey retired, so I'm good. Number two, so the cheerleader with the mouth open, we named it OMG Becky, which means oh my God, Becky. Who is the rapper from that song? He has no chance, right, Mark?
I know.
Of course you do.
Oh my God. I've never heard of that person.
Becky?
Well, is there an original version?
There's only one.
OMG Becky. Nobody said OMG when that song came out. That was before texting, and we didn't have to abbreviate things.
Because, not Lil Wayne. Is it a version for
Becky? It was the rapper who mentioned Becky. I assume.
No, I said, "Oh my God, Becky!" The woman said it for the song. Look at that shot in this case, but
who is it?
Sir Mix-a-Lot. No chance.
Baby got back. You've heard Baby Got Back before.
That's like Doug, that's like asking you about Elvis. Like, he doesn't, right. I mean, it's so far in the past. But Sir Mix-a-Lot with, you probably know the song, I Like Big Butts and I Cannot Lie. You've heard that.
Yeah, but there's a little remix and a Lil Wayne song. Lil Wayne okay. Said it too.
There we go.
I didn't even know about that.
All right.
Thanks for making me feel really old, fresh. Pointing out the generational gap there. That's
Taco Bell eating.
So like, I knew that little phrase from you know, Lil Wayne.
I got one for Ty. So Ty, when you know Duke always kind of plays the same defensively, right? And they're gonna force you baseline, and they're gonna trap, and they're gonna try to put. But they also play that 2-3 zone. Did they do that against you guys? And how did you attack it?
So honestly, all 3 years I've played against them, they played us differently every year.
Okay.
And that's one thing Coach K does. He's more of like a player's coach. Like, what do I have this year?
Right. Because
he has got guys constantly. He started to move to that one and done. You know what I mean? So he's a lot of guys in and out every year now. So he's kind of moved more away from like, this is my system, I'm sticking with it, to like, what do I have this year?
Yeah.
How do I play? So like, my first year was straight man pressure. The entire game. second year, they tried to start off with that and wasn't working. So they went to the zone and then a little 1-2-2, like full court token pressure. Had some success with the zone against us. And my last year, it was straight man, no threes, switch everything.
Yeah.
I think that was partly catered to our personnel too, you know? So I think every year, I'm really interested to see how he defends tonight. I'm going to assume he's going to go like, probably switch a lot. I don't know if they have, I really haven't watched Duke play enough though, but I know he's going to try to get Sam, Trey, and Jay off the 3-point line. That's my guess. So we'll see. I'm going to see the Wapay defense tonight.
A lot of hacking.
Well, always.
It's foul.
Always.
Nobody, they can't call them all, right?
And I know, Ty, I know you're a big Reese fan, and so is Fresh. You know, the games that we haven't played well in Reese, they've really challenged Reese to shoot, and Kihei. Kihei's been able to overcome that a little bit and get in the paint and distribute and also make shots. Reese has been pretty tentative the last couple games shooting. Did you go through that as a freshman as well?
I did. Kyle did. Dre did. I'm not sure about the players before us, but I watched every good player that I played with at UVA go through that at some moment in time.
Yeah.
I went through it my second year at a moment in time. So it's just natural. Like, it's just basketball. You know, you're finding your rhythm. You're finding your legs, new system. Every game calls for something new. So until Reese, you know, steps on the court and he, you know, every game is like, all right, I know I'm this. And it takes a while to figure out who you are in college besides for some people. You know what I mean? Yep. It took me a little while to, like I said, Kyle and Dre a little while. So I think once he finally figures out, like, this is who I am, I'm going to be this every game. He's going to have some games where he kind of struggles. Like, you guys, I think in the beginning of the year, Kihei was kind of figuring out who he was a little bit, and then he figured it out. And he's just a hooper, man. Like, he's just tough, and he figures it out every game. I think that's what stands out for him. I think Reese can be that too. So he'll definitely figure it out.
It's sometimes too, Ty, like, you know, this is a point. Even if you're not a threat, you got to be a threat. And that's a 100%. That's a really hard thing to explain. I'm going to leave it off by saying, from Tom Henske, little in the middle, but you got much back.
Yes.
Straight out of
so makes a lot.
OMG, Becky.
Right over the generations right there, Fresh.
All right. You're down there you're in Orlando with London, Momedy, Braxton.
Oh, nice.
Right? The four of you guys.
Mm-hmm. London, Molly, Braxton. Yeah. I think that's it.
Yep. Have you guys talked to each other about the game tonight?
No, London's actually playing right now. I'm not sure about Braxton or Molly, but I was going to watch. I watched the last one with London, but he's playing right now. So I'll probably talk to him after his game.
That's fun, right, man. Enjoy good it, game. Dude.
Good game last night against Momedy. Hopefully, like you, the Hoos come out on top tonight, right? Dougie, did you get a chance to see that highlight?
Oh, I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it. By the way,
floater, man, you did that floater a lot in college, too.
That's yeah, a bunch.
That was a modified floater, though. You ain't floated up. You clutched your back.
The argument of what
that
is
was
it?
A, no, that was a great
I'm a purist. Yeah.
Get it above the rim. Get a good bounce sometimes.
But you didn't. The best part is Momedy picked you up way out, and you probably were like, "Oh, okay, let's go."
Oh, when I was dribbling up the court, Momedy started screaming at his teammates, "I got him!"
Right, and you're like, "Yeah, you got me. I've done this 10,000 times, Momedy." And started. Here we go.
That's great.
He did get a block on you a couple of plays earlier.
Stop it,
he
Mark.
Did.
Come on, man. Ty, your dad at the national championship game was talking to me. He's like, I hope Ty gets some run tonight, man. I hope he's okay. Come on, Mark. Let's enjoy this shit.
All right, folks.
Bye, Ty. Thanks, dude.
We are going to say goodbye to you. We will see you all at the half. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Sweeps, love you. I'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Love you, Dad.
Take care, man.
All right. Good boy, Ty.